you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. Here we are kicking off 2026 and continuing our series on resilience together. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about movement and the role that movement plays in resilience. But before we start our reflection time, I'd love for us to do a slowdown exercise together. If you're able, find a comfortable position and close your eyes. If you're not able to close your eyes, that's okay. Try it the best you can with your eyes open. I want you to notice where in your body feels the most grounded. And by grounded, I mean centered, weighted, heavy, connected. Might be your feet on the floor, your back on the chair. And when you found the spot that feels the most grounded, I want you just to notice what that feels like in your body. What that weighted, connected feeling is like. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Notice how you feel. Maybe it was weird. Maybe you noticed nothing. Hopefully, you feel a little more centered than you were a few minutes ago. Hopefully, your thoughts are a little calmer. Maybe your body feels a little calmer. And from this more grounded, centered place, let's take some time to reflect together about resilience. Today, we're going to talk about movement. Yes, actual physical movement, but also internal metaphorical movement. I'm sure at the outset, you're thinking about the health benefits of movement, that's what I'm going to talk about. But actually, I'm going to be talking about a lot more than that. Stick with me as I take you down a few different trails today. We're going to meander a little bit. And as we wander down these trails, I hope you'll be taking some internal notes and that you'll be taking stock of the landscape of your own story and of your own resilience. Now, it's been a few weeks since we last talked about resilience, so for all of our collective memories, I'm going to remind us, by resilience, I mean our capacity to durably withstand distress, and hopefully not just tolerate it, but even grow through the experience. Now, in order to reach a place of resilience, where we're learning to durably withstand and grow from distress, it means we've had to face distress to begin with. Resilience is hard won. So let's go back to the beginning of that process to talk about why movement is so important. Back to the point of distress. And to start that conversation, I'd like to tell you a little bit about trauma. In order for an event or experience to turn into what we collectively call trauma, it means that there was a point in time in which a person's nervous system was overwhelmed. They did not feel safe. And even more than that, they felt helpless. They experienced a helplessness. There was danger, fear, and survival instincts kicking in. But in that moment, there was also a sense of powerlessness. The nervous system was overwhelmed. Now, this kind of scenario can play out in so many different ways. There's no reason to go into all the different scenarios. But regardless of how trauma transpires, this setup is almost always true. For a moment or longer, it seemed that no one was going to save you or resolve the situation at hand, and you were unsure or unable to have agency to change or resolve the situation yourself. Now, when we think of PTSD, we tend to think of soldiers in war or victims of assault. And goodness, those certainly count. But if we're thinking more broadly, this scenario can happen on grand or minor scales. There are medical traumas, where we're in distress due to surgeries, difficult birth stories, autoimmune diseases, or cancer. We can feel helpless and suffer in our own bodies. We can suffer and feel helpless due to accidents, due to infidelities, or relationship distress, due to caregiving burnout, due to being in relationship with an addict or a friend or family member with mental health challenges. The scenarios for distress are endless. Some are short-term and some are long-term situations. But regardless, life causes us to be put in situations in which we can be in distress and not know what to do next. Most of the time, we're metaphorically stuck. But in extreme examples, we actually can have a bodily freeze response, which is the body's response to how to survive a situation that is overwhelming, in which it actually shuts down or freezes for a short time. That's not something we consciously decide. That's something that our nervous systems decide for us when it deems that that is the most appropriate way to survive a situation, basically like playing dead in a way. Now, this can look like dissociation, or it can actually look like passing out. But regardless of how we experience distress, and not all of us may qualify for having a big T trauma, but all suffering and distress can have an element of this helpless, frozen feeling. Here are some words that one might use when in a life situation that creates overwhelm and distress. We might say, I feel stuck. I feel trapped. I feel frozen. I feel shut down. I feel hopeless or powerless or helpless. These are all ways of saying, I don't see a way out of the suffering in the present moment. Now, one important element in building our own journey towards resilience is to find spaces and places for agency. Now, I know what agency is, but I was trying to figure out how to describe it. So forgive me, I looked to Google. And Google says, personal agency is the capacity to act intentionally and make choices that influence your life and environment, reflecting a belief in your ability to achieve goals, solve problems, and direct your own path rather than being passively controlled by circumstances. Developing agency means actively exercising control through conscious decisions, actions, and taking responsibility for your progress. In other words, when life has felt helpless, when you haven't felt like you had a voice or could affect change over overwhelming circumstances, finding places where you can build agency in your life, where you can have some control, is so important. Which then brings us to the idea of movement. Movement is the opposite of stuck. And this is why movement is so important for building resilience. The opposite of freezing is thawing. The opposite of stuck is moving. So let's talk about a few ways we can go about finding movement. And yeah, we'll start with the obvious. Let's start with physical movement. Hey, if your body is feeling the effects of distress, physical movement is a great place to start. Now, I'm not going to encourage you towards random exercise, though, like a boot camp or something, although maybe you want to do that too. But rather, when it comes to healing and building resilience, I'd encourage you towards intentional and hopefully even joyful movement. Building agency means finding control and autonomy, and using our bodies can be a part of that. In combating distress, slow movement like strolling, swinging, or yoga, for example, can be really restorative. Slow movement signals safety to the nervous system. When we move slowly, we're sending a signal to our bodies that we are not in danger. Danger means fight or flight. Slowing our movements down helps contribute to a feeling of safety. But joyful movement also signals safety. Hiking in nature, dancing to your favorite song in the kitchen, swinging or splashing in the pool with your children, working in the garden, playing a basketball game. These movements are intentional and bring joy. Choose your favorite forms of movement, those that are life-giving to you, and notice how different your body feels after engaging in these exercises. Movements that empower us when we have felt powerless are also important. You know, in my counseling practice, I see primarily women, and in general, women are taught not to take up a lot of space. Many have had disordered eating or unhealthy relationship with their bodies. They've lacked confidence. Finding power poses or body postures in which we feel strong and are able to take up space feels really empowering. For instance, if you want to try it right now, standing with your feet spread shoulder width apart, and putting your hands on your hips like Wonder Woman, that's a power pose. The warrior yoga stance is also a power pose. These kinds of movements and stances help us feel more powerful and confident. And goodness, I'm just going to encourage you, take up some space, friend. Take up some space. You'll feel a lot stronger. Taking a self-defense class, a martial arts class, a kickboxing class, a boxing class, learning to lift weights. These movements also allow the body to feel confident and strong. Physical movement can be empowering and help us gain confidence, a sense of safety and power when we have suffered in a way that has felt powerless. But I would be remiss if we didn't talk about other forms of movement. What about mental or psychological stuckness? Have you ever felt stuck mentally? Like you're trying to problem solve your way out of a situation that you just can't seem to find a way out of? Or perhaps you felt stuck emotionally, like you want to move past something, but you're continuing to have big feelings about it. Years ago, I heard John Townsend, one of the authors of the book Boundaries, talk about depression, and he called it frozen grief. Frozen grief. Think about that idea. What does it conjure up? You know, grief and depression can certainly look a lot like each other, but they are not the same. Grief comes in waves, and it cycles through many stages and feelings, including shock, denial, sadness, anger, bargaining, acceptance, and back again. Its intensity can come in like a tsunami, or it might ebb and flow. It can be a constant companion, coloring your world, but its expression and experience may change depending on triggers, memories, anniversaries, etc. Depression, on the other hand, is a shutdown kind of experience. It has some things in common with grief, but it's more of a stuck place. It can ebb and flow some in its intensity, but overall, it tends to feel kind of frozen, like a lack of motivation, like I can't make myself do this, like wading through mud. It really has that stuck feeling. It's technically experiencing a state of hypoarousal for more than 2 weeks. We could say that this state of stuckness is kind of like helplessness as well. When in this place, everything feels overwhelming. Simple tasks are exhausting. So movement might need to start as really simple steps. Finding one small goal for each day, like take a shower, wash the dishes, or meet a friend. Remember, movement doesn't have to be big. We just want to have momentum rather than being completely stuck. Anxiety often also shows up with a sort of stuckness, but it can have more body symptoms or like ruminating thoughts. With anxiety, there is movement, but it's not movement that's going anywhere. It's like a frenetic Tasmanian devil or like a hamster on a wheel in your brain going around and around and around. It uses a lot of energy, it wears you out, but it often doesn't go anywhere productive. Like wheels turning in the mud, but still stuck in a rut. If we're feeling stuck, mentally or emotionally, an invitation to movement might look like talking or writing about your thoughts and emotions. Journaling by hand, specifically, helps us clarify thoughts and feelings. It helps us slow things down as well, and it can be a great place to start. Talking with someone who's supportive and can ask helpful clarifying questions or listen well can also help us move forward. Sometimes translating feelings and sensations into words gives us clarification. But helpful movement might also look like reaching out to a doctor, a psychiatrist, or a therapist for support. And if you have been through real trauma, please find a trauma-trained therapist. They can help hold your hand as you go through this process. But I also want to invite you to allow yourself to grieve if what you're experiencing is actually frozen grief. If the tears come, give yourself a safe space to let them fall. Allowing your body to process the emotions that you've been holding at bay allows them to move through and not get stuck. Believe it or not, feelings will ebb and flow. Just because you feel them intently from time to time does not mean that you'll feel them that intently all the time. Allowing emotions to come and be expressed may be like breaking up ice in a river. Breaking up the ice in a frozen river allows the water to flow again. Again, though, I just want to say, if you need support and assistance in this area, I hope you'll go find a good support person or perhaps a trauma-trained therapist to help you move forward in a safe way. Finally, I want to invite you to notice the stuck places in your soul. Where are you feeling stuck spiritually? Are there some questions that you've been holding yourself back from asking? Are there thoughts or feelings you haven't felt safe voicing to God or your faith community? Do you feel as if He's not listening or is not present? If you've not yet listened to my series on the Psalms from last year, I hope you'll go back and listen to that series I did on the Psalms of orientation, disorientation, and reorientation, because this may be a helpful framework for noticing how our worship changes in seasons of distress. But right now, I invite you to look inward and check in on the state of your soul. What does it need? Perhaps the movement you need now is to allow yourself to be curious and ask questions, maybe even hard questions that you've been holding back. Perhaps it is to allow yourself to voice your thoughts and feelings to the Lord. He can handle it. Perhaps it is to allow your soul to lament and grieve. Maybe it's been a frozen river. Perhaps it is simply to throw your hands up and ask for help. If we're helpless, that's a great place to start. Help is a very good prayer. It might be the one I pray the most, honestly. In moments of overwhelm and distress, we can feel alone and abandoned, helpless. Engaging with our Heavenly Father can feel scary sometimes, especially if we're not used to that or we've been hurt. But it also provides the safety we're longing for. He's a refuge. If you're not even sure what your soul needs, take time to check this week. Pray, listen to music, read scripture, and notice what comes up. This may help give you clues. You know, my hope in broaching this subject today is to help you to identify the places that you have felt distress, and then afterwards, felt helpless, stuck, or frozen. And to invite you towards movement in those places. Not goal-oriented movement, not fast movement. There's no performance here. But intentional, safe, careful movement. Allowing the frozen places to thaw and flow again. Allowing the terrified places to heal and feel safe to move again. To gain agency and power by choosing for yourself which parts of yourself need care and what that might need to look like. So I encourage you now to take time to check in on all the parts of yourself. Which parts of you have been feeling stuck or helpless? What do you need in these areas? What would be a good first step? Remember, movement is anything that keeps us from being frozen in place. Just choosing to notice and care for these stuck places is a kind of movement in and of itself. Talking about all of this brings me back to Philippians 3, 10, and 11. That I may know Him, Jesus, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know Him, the fellowship of His sufferings. We're not alone in our distress. Remind your soul. And the power of His resurrection, that I may know the power of His resurrection. We're looking for signs of life, friends, in God's kingdom around us and in our frozen places too. And with that, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.